We talk about how Bonnaroo changes lives, and I can't think of anybody to better tell that story than you. So
I was so nervous and intimidated to go talk to new people at the festival. Oh my gosh, I found the secret life hack to meeting new people. And the energy shift was immediate. Like, you could just see people light up anytime I would ask a question.
Welcome back to the What Podcast. We are T-minus, 93 days when this comes out on Wednesday, Russ? Is that right?
If you listen on Wednesday, yeah, I think it's 93 days. We're well under 100 days, which is amazing, which is
Well, don't ask me, because I don't get anything right, as probably at a more clip than Barry gets.
It's a theme
on this show.
It's part of it. It's a theme of the show.
Just go with it.
Yeah. Under 100 days, anyway. Under 100 days.
Yeah. Yeah, under 1,000 days. I'm confident in saying that.
That is true.
All right. I'm Barry. That's Brian. That's Russ. And with us, friend of the show, Caleb. How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. Yeah, hearing you say it out loud that it's, 93 days away. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's so soon.
It's double digits. It's going to be here.
It's getting there. It's all getting right. Very close. I'm very excited.
I cannot move forward without mentioning, because anybody who's watching online is thinking the same thing I am. Man, you got to show us that outfit.
You saw this? You peeping this right here? Yeah.
Come on now.
The fit check? Hold on. Wait, let me back it up for you a little second here.
Fit
Hold on.
Check
let me
for
give
sure.
you the full. Wait, mm-hmm. It's the whole matching robe set.
Wow.
I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? The Bonnaroo robe matching fit?
Look at this.
I'd be wearing my wizard hat too if it weren't for my headphones right now. Maybe I can do both.
Oh, yeah.
But that's really the real combo right there. But yeah, the little robe, you know, with the Bonnaroo iconography on there. It's just too good. I saw it on the internet, on their website, and I was like, I can't not have that. I'm sorry, guys. I got to be walking around Rue with this on at nighttime.
I feel so underdressed.
Yeah.
I wonder if it comes in extra big. I got to have that. What we got? Rootless. I see the arch. What else?
Yeah, it's got a whole bunch of stuff on there. So it's got
everything.
It's got the arch. It's got some little smiley faces, little mushroom guys. And it's, it's got some tents on there. Oh, I'm blocking the light. It's got some tents and stuff on there. Some little music notes, the disco ball, the little Bonnaroo guy, little flower eyeballs, this kind of trippy pattern. It's got all kinds of stuff on there. But it's very cozy. Like, the fabric's very soft and, like, just super cozy. So maybe not during the day, or maybe waking up in the tent early morning, you know?
Yeah. I'm not sure I'm wearing
nighttime cozy fit.
Well done. All right.
That's very fun.
Good for you. All right, for those of you who have been around for a minute and know you've been listening to the show, as I would hope all of you have been since the beginning, Caleb is the, what would you say, publisher?
Publisher, creator, Bonnaroo yearbook guyer. I don't know. I make books for Bonnaroo. So whatever title that is, I wear many hats when it comes to it.
You said books. So what do you mean by books? It's not just one. What all you got going on?
So the yearbook project is actually kind of expanded outside of Bonnaroo now. Like, when I started this back in 2023 officially, and like actually wanted to start making printed books for the community, I had no idea how big the project was going to get. I honestly was really surprised at the response from the community over this project. And so now I have Hulaween that I just went to and am now creating an I Spy book 4, which is really cool. And then Okeechobee just recently invited me to bring the project to their festival. So I'm actually going to be getting a staff wristband and bringing the Bonnaroo yearbook project to Okeechobee and doing the same thing for them. So that's super cool, just to like have that recognition from the festival scene officially and be like, hey, we want you to come do that for us. And it's like, okay, sure. Like, I would love to. So I've got the Bonnaroo yearbook. I've got the Hulaween I Spy. And then I've got the Okeechobee yearbook. And then I'm doing the Bonnaroo yearbook for my fourth time this year. So it's like, what? Like, how did I start making all these books for all these festivals?
Forgive my ignorance, Caleb. The Bonnaroo yearbook, and then you talk the Hulaween I Spy book. Help me remember what I Spy is exactly.
Yeah. So I don't remember if you remember growing up, probably as a kid, you saw those old I Spy books that had lots of like crazy little trinkets and
it involves
puzzles and
Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder.
Yeah, right? Brian was never a kid.
Well, I was going to say also, we weren't kids anywhere near the same time. So,
and then there's that.
But I made one for Bonnaroo as my 3-year anniversary for doing the yearbook project, where all the trinkets everyone gave me from Bonnaroo, I went in and turned it into like a printed I Spy book with rhyming puzzles and full on like setup scenes kind of a thing. So
nice.
Anytime anyone left me a trinket, it got collected and saved with me. And then I took photos of all of them and put in these little rhyming puzzles. So I did this project for Hulaween, but y'all, I kid you not, I was walking around with a magnifying glass totem around Hulaween. Probably anywhere from like 500 to 700 people came up to me and gave me a trinket for one of these books for Hulaween. And it blew my mind, the recognition I was getting around the festival. I mean, at Hulaween, there's maybe only 20,000-30,000 people max.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like I couldn't walk more than 5 feet with my totem without someone coming up and being like, oh my gosh, are you the I Spy guy? Like, are you the I Spy guy?
It's a pretty cool feeling, right?
Yeah, it's a wild feeling. And in part, I love it because it's just being seen and recognized for this project that I'm putting so much work into. But at the same time, Hulaween, I wasn't expecting it. Like, with Bonnaroo, I expect a certain level of like, oh, you're the yearbook guy, right? But with Hula, it was my first time ever going to Hula. I just happened to make this one video that went very viral, I guess, in the festival space. And it got like 110,000 views in the first like couple of days right before Hula. And so like majority of Hulaween saw this video and was like looking for me, trying to give me a trinket, it felt like. And so I've just completed the first two photos. The first photo I needed to complete was the big group shot.
Yeah, I saw this on your stories. That was a pretty elaborate photo shoot you put together. I was like, what is this guy doing? I wasn't sure at all what you were doing other than it looked kind of neat and very exhaustive. Yeah. Very exhaustive.
Oh my gosh. It took me 2 days just for the first group shot, just to style everything and like get the space set up to shoot the thing. Because it's like, it was me and this big roll of 6 foot by probably 10 feet of paper. And then I had my laptop, my camera, all the lights, and probably anywhere from, I have not done a full count of the trinkets yet, but I would guess anywhere from like 600 to 800 trinkets, like individual little trinkets. And I had my laptop displaying what my camera could see from like way up here behind me. And I was just on the floor, up and down, just making sure every trinket was somewhat visible in this picture.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, the amount of time of just like moving things a little tiny bit, or just like trying to make sure something isn't covering something else, or, you know, trying to make sure everything is visible. And then repacking up all those trinkets back into their bags nice and safe and carefully, and then taking out specific ones we want for the next photo. And then once that one has been shot, then I need to make sure the same trinkets aren't getting photographed all the time, so then that's a new group that stays on its own, and then I shoot the rest of them for the new photos. So I just did the group shot and the gradient photo, where I took all the trinkets and made like a big gradient of color with all the trinkets. And the next one I'm working on is like a little poker scene with some stuffed animals, and they're using the trinkets as like trading materials, like frick crack a little bit.
That's so
now I'm working on finishing the Hula I Spy book, and then yeah, getting ready for Okeechobee, which is in like a few days. It feels like a little over a week, maybe close to 2 weeks.
And what are you gonna do there? What's is it? Which more like the yearbook or more like I Spy, or what are you gonna do there?
Yeah, so I actually have some breaking news for anyone watching the podcast right now. I have not even said anything on my story because this just came in yesterday. But this is going to give you a good idea of what the Okeechobee is going to be like. Okay, so ready?
That's the
You guys might recognize this lineup right here. R.I.P. to the final days.
Yeah.
Yep, I haven't taken this sticker off, but
that's the first copy, right? The first.
Yeah, this is the first copy. And the thing I learned with making my two previous books, both the first Bonnaroo yearbook and the 2024 version, was I never just ordered one copy to see what it looked like in print first. I just ordered all the copies all at once.
Rookie mistake.
Mm-hmm. Rookie mistake. Don't do that, y'all.
Never trust.
And it's not even like that I did anything wrong those first few times that I, you know, was so horrendous that it ruined the whole thing. But there are definitely things that I wish I would have done different and before I printed 50 of them, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You can always tweak them, man. There's always
little tweaks and stuff. Like, see this little space here? I want it to be more touching the sides. And so I want that to be kind of filled in a little closer to the edge there. And there's like a couple pages in here with some of the photos that are maybe a little bit darker than I would have liked them to come out to have been. But yeah, so it's basically for the Okeechobee yearbook, it's going to be scans of all the pages of whatever people write or leave inside of this source material book.
Ooh.
Wow.
No.
Right. So this is going to be the origin for the Okeechobee yearbook. So whatever gets put in here will be printed, preserved in here. And then in addition to that, I have, you know, photos of people as they're with the book. Right. So it's like people as they're signing it or posing with it or just like random moments from around the farm. But for Okeechobee, of course. And then in addition to that, of course, every good yearbook needs superlatives, right? So like best drawing, best handwriting, best photo, best quote, things like that.
I see a Brian Stone in there.
Oh, yeah. Right? All the best stuff. And then I put I Spy pages at the back. So any trinkets anyone gives me, it's also going to have a few I Spy photos kind of in the back of the book as well with some rhyming puzzles. And then, you know, things like fun facts, all the names printed out, limited edition number. And I haven't put the number in yet because those are all done by hand.
All right. I need to get the first one and the third one and probably the I
You want the full collection now.
I got to have it. Absolutely. Where can people get it?
Shout out to Tim Myers, who is the only person I know of who has the full collection right now. He's the only one who's bought all of them.
There's gonna be two by the end of the day.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, but the website is bonnarooyearbook.com.
That's easy.
And since I told everyone the pre-sale was gonna end as soon as the book was done. And so now that the book is done and I have the first copy in my hand, the pre-sale is over. But for What Podcast listeners, use promo code The What Podcast, and you'll get 50% off if you want to buy a copy of this book in particular. Okay. So just for the 2025 Bonnaroo yearbook, you get 50% off using code The What Podcast, and you can get yourself a copy for half off.
Any challenges other than the ones that are obvious that there's just less days, but any challenges to doing a one day aroo 2025 as opposed to the other two that were full weekends and then some?
Yeah.
They look about the same.
They're pretty close in terms of thickness to each other. Yeah. Which is honestly really incredible. And to be fair, the original book that everyone signed for the 2025 year like there's a lot more signatures than you would think for only having one full official day. I think I counted around, oh, I have it in here in the fun facts, actually.
Oh geez.
I have to guess. I already counted it. Here we go. I have 600, where's that page, and something signatures. Oh, it's at the end of the superlatives. Yeah, here we go. There it is. So how many is that? 658 contributors. Yeah, wow. 658 contributors compared to last year. I had a grand total of, I think, like 1,000 and something.
Do you ever see any music at Bonner?
Yeah, barely. You know what I do? When I get, here's the 2024 stats for reference, 1,190. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So definitely a lot fewer signatures, that's for sure, but a lot more photos. Like I compensated for the pages with just like adding way more pictures of people as they were signing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, in terms of like the main challenges and stuff, the biggest one was just the gut punch to like our emotional state. Like, cause we were just so hype and so ready. And so when that came in, it was like, you gotta go. It was like, like, okay. So we ended up packing up that night. And me and my girlfriend, we just got our whole campsite minus our tent and easy up, all packed up, all ready to go. And we were out of there by like 8:30 a.m.
or something.
There was no cars, no traffic, no nothing. But we were also like 3 or 4 rows in from the arch.
Sounds like you got lucky.
Yeah, so we got really lucky with our spot, and like 3 spots down from us, they were completely flooded in a ditch, whereas we were just like so lucky. We were just on that slightly little bit higher of an elevation. So we got really lucky with getting out of Bonnaroo this year. But then it was coming back home and just like the defeat of having so many empty pages, especially towards the back of the book. Like, this hurts my heart. Never have I done a Bonnaroo yearbook and there's empty pages by the end of it. You know, so that was really hard for me personally, just as like doing this project, like going through and photographing all the pages again and just like seeing all the people who wrote you know, first drew, best drew in the book, and I'm just like, like I feel so bad for all the people who went for the first time and that was their experience. I'm just like, no, you gotta come back. Like, that's not rude. That's not supposed to be what you're supposed to, you know, experience.
Where are you where are you located, Caleb? Where do you live?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Georgia. Yep. So it's maybe like 3 to 4 hours for us to get over there. It's not huge.
Yeah.
But like our camping neighbors, they flew in from Canada. You know, like they had to like deal with the whole hotel situation and flight changes, and like they were in a logistical nightmare. And so it just felt so sad, just like packing up all our stuff here and them just like trying to game plan and figure out like what are we gonna do to get out of this. And to be fair though, like that's the only reason we sent Hulaween this year. Like I would have never gone to Hulaween and done that project had it not been for, you know, what happened at Route 25. Because Sydney was just like, man, we need more festivals, so like we're gonna book it right now. It just bing, just booked it right then and there.
Just because it's one of my favorite stories related to Bonnaroo, let's go back for a minute and tell your sort of origin story, right? Because if anybody watching this is going to see this unbelievably gregarious, open guy who's doing such a cool like, thing, thinking, man, he's always been this way. But that's not the case, right?
Not at all.
We talk about how Bonnaroo changes lives, and I can't think of anybody to better tell that story than you. So give us a quick, how the hell did Caleb get to here? Were you wearing, you know, you have Bonnaroo pajamas
on a podcast about Bonnaroo? Like, who is this guy? Yeah. So I traditionally had always walked around, especially like in my early youth, I'd always walk around with a journal And I just would take notes and draw things. And I would say I'm artistically inclined overall. Something like one of these kind of thing. And usually I'll just have a little pen and just write down whatever comes to mind. And I went to my first ever music festival, which just happened to be I got invited to go to Coachella with a group of people. And I was like, sure, let's go do that. And I was walking around the festival and my group decided to go do one thing and I went off to go do my own thing. But I was so nervous and intimidated to go talk to new people at the festival. Like, there were so many groups of people just decked to the nines and these gorgeous outfits. And like, just, you can see a group of people and go, they're cool. Like, I want to be a part of whatever you got going on. But I was intimidated. Like, I didn't have the social skill set to be able to just walk up and say, hey, how's it going, guys? Like, what y'all up to? Like, I just didn't have that in me. That wasn't part of my repertoire at all. But then someone handed me a little party favor, and then it kind of made it to where, like, this urge to go and talk to people was just overwhelming. Like, I just had to do it, but I still didn't have that icebreaker. So I had my journal, and I went up to people, and I was like, hey, would you like to write something in my book? But I got lots of mixed feedback on that question. Some people were like, what's it for? Or like, what are you going to do with this? Or
what,
like,
am I signing? Is this a contract?
Yeah. Like, is this a Death Note style situation? Like, what is this? And so I was often met with questions and rejections a lot of the times. And I just wanted to, like, talk to people. But they were confused on what the heck was going on. And so I went up to one person eventually and I was like, hey, would you like to write something in my book? And she opened it up and she's like, oh, this is so cute. It's kind of like your yearbook. She just started drawing like hags or something in the book and gave it back to me. And I was like, oh, that's genius. Like, yes, the Coachella yearbook. That's so genius. Let me write that down. So I wrote down Coachella yearbook in big letters. And then I changed my question. So I went from, do you want to write something in my book, to do you want to sign the Coachella yearbook? And the energy shift was immediate. Like, you could just see people light up anytime I would ask the question. And like 98% of the time, 99% of the time, they were down to participate and like be a part of it. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I found the secret life hack to meeting new people.
That's
music
the spark
festival
right
name
and yearbook. Yeah.
Do you want to sign the music festival name?
I mean, isn't it fair to say every generation all shares a little bit of signing the yearbook and the excitement of it? I mean, from Barry to us to you.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You know, right? Like, oh my God, yes, I can't wait to do that. Like, you're one of the cool kids if you're in that kind of
the yearbook.
So that's neat.
So it's a little bit of nostalgia. It's a little bit of you get to leave your mark. It's a little bit of just social interaction at a festival that's not super committive. You know, it's not like I'm saying, hey, let's hang out together for the rest of the festival. It's like, hey, let's sit down on this moon mat together and you sign some pages of a book, write down whatever you want to. You guys look amazing. Can I take a picture? Click. I have a great day. And I go to another group of people and it's the same thing.
It is overstating it, but I mean to. It's in the now, it's in the present, but it's also something that you know will be there forever.
Yeah.
Which makes it special, right? That's why you sign a yearbook.
For all time. Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, we've just gone through this event together, but we'll revisit this next year, next year, 50 years.
It was really cool. It was really cool seeing like alumni from people who had signed previous books.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
You know, like at Bonnaroo 2025, we got there on Tuesday. So we were there from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and we left Friday morning. So we still had a good amount of time at Rue.
Same here. I got there Tuesday, RIP Tuesday entry, though.
Yeah, but like even in the parking lot, before we got into the line to line up to get into Rue, right? Like just in the waiting around, I was running into people who had signed the previous year. And it was like, oh my gosh, I already ran into yearbook alumni. Like, that's so sick. Like, it was so cool running into those reoccurring characters over and over again and just seeing kind of how those relationships evolve over time. And yeah, it's just so fun going back and looking through and like, oh my gosh, there's my page, you know, or wow, like here's mine, you know, and then like taking a picture with their signature from the last year, like,
wow, yeah, there you go.
You know, like there I am. So yeah, to see your own work in a printed format alongside all of your festival peers is just like, ah, it's so cool.
That's
like,
what I mean by the history thing. It's there forever. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we wanted to get to the some of your thoughts on things of this year's lineup, the lineup in particular, but the festival, but the festival in general. But before we do that, let's not bury the lead completely here, or at least one of the leads, if that's a way to put it. You're going to be working in some roundabout or maybe more direct than I understand way with the festival themselves this year, correct? And
yeah,
if I am correct, what is that, we'll call it collaboration line?
Yeah, so I was like, you know, I've been doing this project for 3 years now. This will be my fourth year going into this year. I was like, Bonnaroo needs to get me on board. Like,
yeah, we were trying to sell cool this podcast to him. So yeah,
yeah. So I was like, I want to be on media, and or I want to get in with Bonnaroo Official. And I reached out to him last year to try and get in, and things just kind of didn't pan out. And so
it's not that easy anymore.
3 years, it's not. 3 years, I've paid my ticket in full 100% plus everything that goes into it to just be at the festival. So this year I applied for social media and several other, like a vendor and an artist application. Like, I filled out several applications to just get tickets. And they accepted me for the Instagram social media.
So you're an influencer.
Basically. So I'm an influencer this year.
Oh my God.
And the kind of videos they want me to make are the ones where it's just me walking around with my friends, just like 15 to 20 second clips of just like moments that I think are really cool from around Bonnaroo. So that was like the kind of guidance they gave me. And there's a few other things in there, like I have to make XYZ posts before the festival, during the festival, and after the festival. I also can't talk any smack about Bonnaroo. Like, I'm not allowed to talk any trash about Bonnaroo.
Well, you have danced on that line a time or two.
Yeah.
You have.
Yes, I have.
That's true.
Sorry, Roo. I'm sorry.
No, good for you. Good for you to not censor yourself, but also be measured enough to know where your bread is buttered. So, no, you're doing you're doing this well.
I'm trying to walk the tightrope, you know. I gotta do it as best I can. Try not to fall off any high places.
You posted a video after we came out with an episode that had Corey and Brad on, right?
Yeah, kind of
explained some of the stuff you were complaining about. And I think you actually like said, okay, I got this wrong. So, you know.
Yeah,
I do remember that. That was funny. Mm-hmm. I think they shared it.
Yeah. Well, they definitely commented. I remember that. They were like, no, it's all good.
Well, Brad Parker was obsessed with the comment section. So he is going to listen and hear every single thing.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, man.
Well, maybe not as much anymore.
He's off out
of the phone book, a phone booth, I should say, dressed up as the Festival for his next
right.
act.
Caleb, how much?
Still
how
on
much
that.
Time is now involved. I mean, this was a hobby, I assume, 4 years ago. But I mean, you just talked about how much time you spent to take one picture, which I understand. People don't understand, you know, it looks simple. It's not.
No, it's
so
not,
how much time simple. Are you putting into these projects?
In terms of
and what do you do for a living?
How do you sustain yourself, right?
Yeah.
So I'm a professional photographer by trade. That's what I do for a living. So I mainly focus in portrait photography, e-commerce photography, food photography. I work with businesses like Stitch Fix, DoorDash. I do a lot of just like personal portraiture.
So this isn't too far afield at all.
No. So photography is my main. This is what I know the best of all of my bookmaking things, like making a printed book is not my main skill set. Taking pictures is my main skill set.
Well, that helps explain why you're worried about the margin.
Yeah. So I'm very detail oriented in the work that I do too. Like, I want things to be as clean and crisp and sharp and nice as they can get, without it feeling like sterile or gross. And so with the book, in terms of like working hours, it's the time it takes to get the website prepared and ready for people to pre-order it. So like, there needs to be a place where people can actually go and get that ready. That takes me anywhere from like 5 to 6 hours over the course of getting ready for the festival, you know, spread out over X amount of time. Then we have the actual collection of the signatures, which from till I get to Rue, till when I leave Rue, I am gathering signatures pretty much 90% of the time. Like, there are certain moments where I'm like, okay, bro, I need to chill out. Like, I'm done. I'm done for a second. I'm going to go just watch something or go lay in a hammock. And like, I'm done with the book right now.
Yeah.
Like,
so Brian kind of half joked earlier about, do you see music? You probably don't see a lot, do you?
Well, so how my yearbook project works, generally speaking, and it's changed as the project has gotten more popular and like more people recognize me. But generally speaking, what I'll do is, like, let's say there's something I want to go see at the other stage at 6:30. I go to the other stage at 6:30, and then I watch the thing and just pass the book around to people. Or like, people come up to me and ask to sign it.
Sure.
So the book is constantly getting signatures while I'm watching the thing. And then it's like, oh, thank you so much. Like, yeah, check out the website. Da, 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 da. And then, hey, would you like to sign the monitor of your book? And then they take their time with it, and I'm dancing. I got my flow star or whatever, and, you know, hanging out. And then once I've seen my thing, then I will bunny trail through the festival getting signatures of people that I think are really interesting. Or I'm like, oh my God, I need their signature. Like, this is a good photo opportunity. Let me see if I can get some signatures in this area so I can get a really cool picture with that in the background, kind of a thing. So it's like, I look for people who want to be a part, or wait for people to recognize and say, hey, can I sign the thing?
Right.
And then I slowly but surely make my way to whatever the next thing is. And oftentimes I miss stuff I want to see because I get involved with someone who is drawing the coolest thing I've ever seen. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not just going to tell them, hey, give me the book back and I got to go. Like,
you do your thing, boo.
Take your time. I can miss it. Like, it's okay. So I try not to have too harsh of a schedule on myself and not beat myself up for missing things, because I know I'm always in the right place at the right time. Because the project needs to get done. It needs to be finished and filled out. And so the more signatures and the more space people take in the book, the cooler the end result is. Usually.
Well, speaking of seeing music, are you team this lineup kind of sucks, or team this lineup works for me, or in between? Talk to us about
I'm contractually obligated.
You should have asked him that 10 minutes ago, Brian.
I was like, I know the answer here.
No, I'll tell you this. Last year's lineup was peak. I wanted to see Tyler the Creator on the Mound. I bought VIP tickets because I wanted to see Tyler from the Mound specifically, like for that moment. Mm-hmm. I bought the whole ticket. Anyways, so not getting to see that plus the other 3 days of artists I was really excited to see from last year, I would say this lineup is really good. But for me, you know, I'm kind of biased. The lineup is this important to me, whereas the project is this important to me.
Yeah.
So like, the lineup is kind of secondary to the Bonnaroo experience. Sure.
We understand.
Overall, I did write down my favorites I'm excited for.
All right, let's go.
Let's hear it.
So Thursday, Skrillex and Fortet. Number one, opening party. Everyone's going to be there. You can't miss it.
We're all going to be there.
That's the only thing Thursday. Right?
Yeah. Friday, I have in order Grizz. I'm very excited for. We just went and saw Grizz at Eternal New Year's Eve in Florida. And that was so good. I missed Grizz in 2023 because I was yearbooking and I just didn't see it. But I will not be missing that again. The Strokes, Major Lazer, Wet Leg, and Zach Fox. That's who I have for my Friday.
No Geese.
I'm definitely going to be
put it down.
There.
He's a No Geese guy.
Okay.
Sorry, y'all. I haven't gotten into geese yet.
It's fine.
Everyone
Don't worry
and their
about
mom
it.
Talks about geese, but Sorry,
it
y'all.
It ain't that
I don't
good.
Know too many moms talking about geese, but if you say so.
It's fine. We've already gone over this for 2 hours.
I want to meet her if she is.
Introduce me if you have a mom that's into geese. Yeah,
exactly.
I'll send you your number. Saturday, I'm doing Rufus the Soul, The Neighborhood, which is very nostalgic for me. Like, that is peak ages 8 to 12 or 13 is The Neighborhood for me. Alabama Shakes, very excited for. Chasing Status, very excited for. Sarah Landry, Rainbow Kitten Surprise, God yeah. willing. You know, like, I feel like every time I've tried to see that, something has happened.
Something happens every time. I know the feeling. I'm apprehensive, you know? But yeah. Hopeful.
So I'm
hopeful.
Not putting too much money into it, but we're going to see what happens.
Yeah.
Flip Turn and Nikita the Wicked are my Saturday. And ending it on Sunday, we have Kesha, LSZ, Daily Bread, Modest Mouse, Japanese Breakfast, and San Holo. So that's who I have for my artist that I definitely want to go see. Otherwise, I'm just going to be yearbooking and just walking around with that book.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.
Yeah, no kidding. This is a lot of fun, Caleb. Thank you so much for giving up a Sunday morning to do this.
Yeah, of course.
I love talking to you. Let's real quick, coming out of, as Brian would say in radio parlance, a reset, I guess. Where again can people find your products and what is that promo code? And I just tried signing in and I don't know if you've activated it yet, but it wouldn't let me because I was going to.
No, I will.
Good. Well, I'll wait. But go ahead.
I'll make sure I send it to you as soon as it's live. So the Instagram is at Bonnaroo Yearbook. That's my IG. And then the website is BonnarooYearbook.com. And the promo code is the What Podcast. So,
and you
there you go.
These are very limited. They're beautiful books, by the way, folks. These are they're beautiful. I have the one and I want to get the other two. They're gorgeous. And I, again, going back to the history of it, I look forward to pulling it out in 5 years and 10 years and whatever and being like, I was there for that. So you do a limited number and I got to be crass. Are you making any money? Are you breaking even? I mean,
no. Yeah, no. I'm basically,
easy answer.
I'm basically making no money off of these.
Join the club.
I'm trying to. Yeah. And the reason is because the cost of production to make these books, I'm making these like one-off two print, you know, I'm not working with like a big publishing house. I'm not working in like massive quantities where I can get them at, you know, $15 a book or whatever. Like these are like, for example, this first one that I made, this big 12x12 coffee table book, the first year that I made, this cost me $175 to produce one. And it's like, not many people can buy a $200 book.
No.
And so I changed the formatting a little bit for these ones to be a little more affordable. So these ones still cost me around $70 or so a book plus shipping. And when I do pre-orders, it's $100. So really it's like with shipping materials too and packaging and like ticket and food and time. spent at the festival just working on this project, and all my time shooting the photos, scanning the pages, editing, culling, like the whole design process of this, you know, also takes me weeks, if not months, in terms of like actually finishing the thing. And so all of the time spent is time I could be working on other stuff. So really, at the end of the day, I am losing money on this. But as the project grows and it gets bigger, like I sold 9 copies of this my first year I did this. Then for 2024, I think I sold like 45 or 46 copies of this. Bonnaroo 25, I sold almost 50 copies, but I had 3 less days in my schedule. So as I do this, my goal is I want to get the first ones that I have. These are limited edition. So only 100 of these will ever be printed and made and shipped out and sent off to people, which is why I made it $200. So that way I can try and make money off of it to some degree for my time and effort. And if you didn't buy it within the first 9 months of me making it, how big a fan of this project are you really? You know what I mean? Like, if you waited 9 months to buy it, you could pay extra because you saw how cool it is now that it's done. You didn't trust the vision and the pre-order for $100, you know. So that's my goal. But I think
You're following the formula, right?
For Okeechobee, I'm battling if I should do, and for this upcoming year, if I should do non-limited edition. So then I don't have to individually sign and number each book. And I could potentially have it sent straight from the producer of the books to the person without me having to be a middleman for the shipping.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure that out now. But it kind of takes away some of that, you know, that something to it. I think the limited edition nature and knowing only so many will ever exist, just like a regular yearbook would be limited edition. I can't go buy my yearbook from 2015 or whatever.
There's not a catalog out there.
Yeah.
So why do you do it? And I'm asking, well, I kind of know I'm leading you. I think it's because of why we all feel about this festival, but I'm going to ask, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy. It's a lot of resources. And I do it for the legacy, I think. I think to look back in, 5, 6, 7, 10 years from now and have a series of all of the different books together and to be able to go through and like see a whole collection over time. Even looking now, seeing I have 3 printed books plus the I Spy book, I'm like, how have I made 4 books? I've just been living life and now it's just come before me. But really, it's the community. Like, doing this allows me to interact with the community on such a personal level, and it's so easy now. And I almost feel like, not expected, but like it'd be a bummer if I didn't show to do it, you know, at a certain point. And I love the process. The thing I don't love is shooting pictures of the pages and editing each one individually in Photoshop for several days.
Oh, yeah. All the post-production is what makes this stuff a drag.
The post-production it's a real drag. It's a real drag. But then people send in really cute 3D printed things like this. Someone sent me these the other day.
Oh, my God.
You know, like it's a little Bonnaroo yearbook, you know, like. That's so cute.
Let me ask you this, Caleb, to the trinkets and all that, because I meant to already get there. The trinkets of Bonnaroo, the lore, it's other festivals. Coachella might have done it first. I don't know. As far as on the mass scale, has been a slow burn over the last couple of decades, where it's really kind of creeped its way in. I've always been a trinket guy, a collector guy. Save every, church boners thing right here. I mean, every little thing I get, you know, a coaster Miller Lite from like 1975. I've always been that way. Have you been that way in the collector? Give me all the cool little stuff everywhere I go, guy. A magnet, a sticker, or did that grow out of this, or did it become bigger out of this?
Yeah. So I've always been into trinkets and little tchotchkes and little tiny doodads and little figurines and stuff like that.
So this is easy. You got this licked. You know how to do
this. I love this kind of stuff. And with Bonnaroo, that introduced me to the trinket gifting culture. Because I had been to Lollapalooza, I had been to Coachella, I had, you know, gone to some other like Chicky Knees before I went to Bonnaroo.
Yeah, are they sprouting people at Lollapalooza? Are they sprouting people at the...
Not near, maybe a 100th percentage point of what Bonnaroo is at. And Hulaween was like Bonnaroo on crack.
Because
everyone was trying to give me the coolest trinkets for the book. Like they knew that that's what I was up to.
Well, and
I
that had whole thing's who, a costume thing, right? Like that, the whole everybody's costume.
Yeah. It's not even that. It's just, it's during Halloween. It's colder. Like there were some nights where it got down to like the mid 30s to like high or low 40s in terms of temperature. So it got cold, but it was very small. The thing I liked about it is the campgrounds are open area. So you can pick anywhere and wherever you have enough space for your stuff, you can just set up wherever. It's not like Ruwitz graded off. Which was really sick. Like that was really cool. You can have fires. Hulaween was really cool festival. I really enjoyed Hula. But for Bonnaroo, I'm really excited because I get to come back and see the community again and do another one of these.
Well, you just mentioned, to me last night when we were just chit-chatting in our little mini pre-show meeting that you just moved. Living quarters. And so
Digs is in a new spot.
How big of a pain is it to move all this, what some people would call junk that you've got?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the logistical nightmare. I have an entire full backpack, like a 30-liter backpack, plus a whole nother thing full of trinkets. Anywhere ranging from like someone gave me it's about this tall and about maybe this thick or so. It's a corn on the cob candle. And she had been carrying it around the entire festival waiting to give it to me. And finally found me on the last day at like the end of the night. She was like, oh my gosh, I found you here. Take this. Like I've been carrying this around all day. So that mixed in with like a turtle smaller than your fingernail. You know what I mean? So the scale of trinkets varies greatly. And you want to make sure nothing gets crushed or nothing gets smushed. So you got to keep all the flat things together. And then you got to make sure all the clips don't get like intertwined with anything that's, you know, real spirally. And so the logistical nightmare of keeping up with all these trinkets is tough. So what I'm doing is I'm giving away several trinkets to anyone that pre-orders something of mine. So if the project is finished and it's done, no trinket. But if you're on the pre-order side of things, you're going to get trinkets from whatever that festival was. So if it's the yearbook, you get a Bonnaroo trinket. If it's from Hulaween, you get a Hulaween trinket. If it's from Oki, it's going to be Oki trinket. So
We did the same thing. We tried to give away junk from Barry's basement.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I understand.
Yeah.
But I got some of the coolest trinkets this year from Hulaween. Oh my gosh. There are some crazy trinkets that I got.
So nice. People go to the trouble to get on like a 3D printer and print out something specific for you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's beyond cool.
Yeah. Someone made me a painting. Like they painted me and my totem with the I Spy on it and had like a little easel. Like what? That's so cool. Like it's very so sick. Yeah.
Very
so
nice.
It's been really eye-opening to just
of pieces of Bonnaroo news just in the last week. I mean, just a little bit that's here and there as we were 93 days, but it's still a little ways to go, so there's not a ton of news, but a couple things. One in particular I was curious about your thoughts, the raging debate on Reddit or any other comment section about one-day tickets and two-day tickets. Bonnaroo this year, or this week, I should say, last week, announced that they're now doing 2 days.
2 days,
And they've done one in the past, and there's always online a lot of opinions on this. I think we're all in agreement on here. We either, A, like it, that there's single days or additional buying options, or we just plain don't care. What is your thoughts on that as a festival goer and considering how many people you interact with? What are your feelings on their different options of 1 day, 2 day, things like that?
Yeah, I met tons of people at Bonnaroo who were there for just the single day, And I think it's really a great option for people who want to dip their toes into the festival world.
They didn't ruin your time. They didn't ruin your time.
No,
right?
Not at all. Not at all. No. And I can understand why people could have that feeling of like, oh, well, if you're not locking in for the whole thing, then you're not really a big, you're a poser. You're not really a part of the community, which I think that's not very clear.
No.
You know, to exclude someone for not being able to come and do the full thing. Like, for me, I'm very fortunate. I get to go and do the whole thing and have the full run and like do this really cool project. And I've worked a lot to get to the point now where I can come to Bonnaroo and be like, hey, can I shoot videos for you guys? And you give me free tickets. And they're like, sure. Right. So it takes a while to kind of get to that point. But for me, if someone wants to go for a day and just have a blast and then dip out, like, power to them, you know? So I think it maybe feels like they're really trying to sell as many tickets as possible and give as many options to get feet through the door, so to speak, just to like get boots on the ground.
And I'm sure Bonnaroo has data on this. I happen to know a few people that have bought single day tickets 1 year and next year they go for the full weekend. So it's almost like it's a pretty much guaranteed thing. If you go one day, well, the next year you're not going to want to just do one day. You're going to do the whole thing. So, you know,
like, for example, I really want my dad to come down and see Bonnaroo because he's never like really been to like a big major music festival like that. And so if he could just come down for a day, that would be much more, you know, easy for him to do as opposed to committing to the full week.
Yeah. And I think, Brian, you made the point, and I was thinking about it all morning. You made the point a week or so or 2 weeks ago that we need Bonnaroo to be successful. We need people to buy tickets. So if they're buying 1 day or four or a 30-minute, we need people to buy tickets and be there.
Here's your half day pass.
Yeah. Come on.
An hour block. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about
it. It's a one show pass.
You're 100% right.
How small can you get it?
Yeah.
Caleb, I'm not asking you this, and you're not going to say it, but I will. I mean, to me, and I think anybody who has a reasonable mind to understand how these kinds of big events go, these additional coming more and more down the road from the lineup announcement to June is an indication that tickets aren't selling as well as they would like. If they were selling right out the window and we're killing it, we got no problems, they wouldn't add this, 1 and 2 days.
You wouldn't see all this.
They wouldn't do that. I think they should do it anyway. I really do. I mean, back in the day, for 15 years, 17 years maybe even, there was no 1 days ever. That was never a thing. And then you would talk to people out, you know, in the off season who go to festivals and they're used to different arrangements. Be like, yeah, 1 day Bonnaroo tickets. And they'll just talk about it like it's a reality. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
There's never been 1 day. You might have gone for 1 day and jumped the fence. You might have been there for 1 day.
Or somebody took their band off and gave it to you.
Somebody
early on would get you banned. I mean,
They never had 1 days. I don't know if that was a philosophical thing with Ashley Capps and the Big Four, all the guys that were involved with putting that together. But they've slowly worked it in. And I think it's a good idea, but also I do feel like we're looking at a festival that maybe not selling as well, and we all are really hoping that it does. That's the main point on that.
And look, things change. Everything changes. The Bonnaroo today is not what it was in 2002.
Not what it was in 2019.
Correct. Nothing.
So, and it's not what it will be in 2028.
Thank you. Adapt and grow.
It'll always
the ticket buyers are not the same. I mean, they're just not the same people. So,
speaking of which, on those 2 day, just for listeners out there who or maybe haven't looked at this, if you are interested in that 2 day, 50% layaway also right now is where they're at as we get closer. So, if you do want to do a payment plan, you still can. Which leads me to my thought here. What about you, Caleb, and your camping situation? How do you do camping? Do you have your own always go to moon colony or whatever it might be, or how do you do?
Yeah.
Camping?
So, the first year I went solo camping. That was my first time going and camping by myself for 6 days at a music festival. And I was not prepared. I had
never are.
Most of the stuff I thought I needed, And then I got there and I realized I don't have majority of the things I actually need, you know? So I learned a lot my first year going solo, but then I went again my second year with my girlfriend, Sydney, and I learned a lot more about, you know, best time to get into the festival, like the earlier, the better, because the closer you can be to the arch and be set up and like just a quick little hop and a skip into the festival makes a world of difference, in my opinion, for especially what I'm doing with the amount of traversing I'm doing.
Yep.
So no group for you or anything like that. You don't do like you don't get involved. You do your own little stake your own little land and
so we try and get in as early as possible. What we did for this year, we had the best setup. It was so bad. So we do a big easy up canopy. We have a 6-person tent, which is more than enough space for the two of us. We have like a little blow up mattress. We have a little folding table inside of our tent. We've got a whole bunch of plushies and blankets and pillows, just be like all super nice and cozy. Then we have another table outside, a little thing hanging from the easy up to just like have storage and access to random stuff, like little cubbies kind of. And then an outdoor rug and some LED lights. But when we go to Hulaween, or when we went to Hulaween, we did it a little bit different. We did like a big living room set up with a bunch of other friends of ours. So we had like 4 canopies. We had 2 couches. We had a kitchen area. We had a put stuff down area. We had a, like, it was this whole little living room we built basically in the middle of Hulaween.
Sounds like Camp Nut Butter back in the day.
Yeah, it was sick.
It does sound like Camp Nut. I mean, if you've got the infrastructure to do that, that's the play. That's the move. The problem is getting that many people to cooperate.
Right.
And we used to have that. We used to have a utopia, Caleb. Oh my God, it would have been the most amazing place for you. Those days are long gone. We still have a nice setup. We're still good.
Yeah.
But we used to have something that was quite. It was enchanting.
Yeah.
It was enchanting.
It was. Yeah.
But for me, I'll tell you guys this, the thing that I learned about the yearbook project that I loved doing when I was solo, especially, was you guys know there's other people with like way better setups than anything.
And
they'll invite
you.
Right?
Yeah. Come on in.
And you know, they're the coolest people ever, right? Like you can just go hang out and talk with people with big fans in their RVs and just have a good time hanging and talking with them.
Yeah.
Like you can do that. So what I did for most of 2023, when I got too hot or I was hungry, I just walk around like all the cool campsites, see like, oh, those guys look like having a good time. Hey, y'all want to sign the yearbook? And just people would be like, oh, we got some burgers. You want a drink? We got a full cooler full of anything you could think of.
Yep.
I was like, what is going on here? Like, who are you people?
Happy to share.
It was amazing. And not to be like in a weird, oh, give me something way, but like it just happened. It kept happening. And I was like, oh my gosh, like the community here is so cool and so giving. And that's what really made me like, this is a small thing I do for the community that has given so much to me. Every time I've needed something at Bonnaroo or been in a tricky spot with something camping wise, or I'm hungry and someone's cooking up some food, like it always just kind of comes around. Like everything works out. Everyone tries to work together to make sure everyone's okay and taken care of. And there's like very little hierarchy in the camping grounds. Like everyone's on the same page. Like,
I think those moments are my favorites. The one where I happen to have something that I hadn't planned on that somebody needed. Mm-hmm. Like I remember one year a couple came up like on a Saturday afternoon, and I don't remember what happened, but they lost everything. And I'm like, oh, do you need a tent? I happen to have one. It's not great. It's my third choice. I just threw everything in, but I have one. And they were like, are you kidding? I'm like, no, here's a tent. Have it.
Yeah.
That's a great moment, you know?
All the time.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how quickly it happens. Like literally within the first couple of hours, getting camp set up and going around and just talking with the neighbors and introducing ourselves. And then we end up like becoming great friends by the end of it. And it's just that something about that experience, I could understand why someone would be like, oh, if you're doing 2-day, you don't get that.
Right.
You're not going to be a part of it. So you don't really understand, like you don't really know.
That's true.
Well, you know, and to Russ's point, we've talked about on here many times, is that, you know, that 1 or 2 day person gets in there and realizes there's limitations to that ticket buying purchase. And then it might be, well, like, why the hell am I not here, you know, having a big party like everybody else? I got to leave now. I don't want to do that.
Exactly.
So but that's an interesting thing there. But real quick, feel free to say this is classified information or whatever. But we started doing our admission into Bonnaroo was through traditional media outlets. And that looks a lot different than new media outlets like what we do here, and more specifically to newer kind of things like influencers that you're doing. You mentioned briefly about the things they want you to do. Is there like a crash course? Do they tell you exactly how many it is, and this needs to be checked off list or else kind of thing? Is it a little fluid, a little wiggle room? What do you expect out of that? Do you think it'll make it a lot harder for you, or maybe even easier?
Yeah. So with the application process, so I think it was for social media influencer application or something along those lines was the thing that I filled out. And I basically just put in my Instagram handle, what kind of content I was trying to make, blah, 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 a couple other things. And they reached back out to me and they're like, hey, like, we love your application. We're going to send you some more details about kind of what it is that we want you to do. And if that all sounds good to you, we'll get a contract put together and have you sign it. So I was like, okay, cool. So they sent me a little briefing over the kind of content that they would like for me to produce while I'm at the festival. Like, they sent some links to some of my previous videos that I had shot for Halloween. And they're like, we want you to do this kind of style. I was like, okay, cool. And then they sent over a contract for me to sign, and attached to that was the, basically it has like a list of deliverables that you need to hit by certain deadlines. So it's like, by this date, you need to have a video saying that you're going to be going to the festival. You need to have like a post of the lineup. You need to have.
So it's not very vague. You know, it's not very vague. It's pretty specific, pretty laid out.
Like, it doesn't have, here's the script of what you need to say, you know, but it has like, here's the content, here's the date. And then in exchange for that, I'm getting 2 GA tickets, but I still had to pay for my camping accommodation. So I bought the camping pass, but they're giving me 2 GA tickets. And then I have to post, I think, like, I'd have to look at the contract exactly, but it's a certain amount of stories and a certain amount of posts during the festival, and then a certain amount of posts post festival. So there's like a pre, a during, and a post that I need to kind of hit those beats on to, I guess, stay in good faith. But the other thing that was attached to the contract that I thought was really funny was I can't talk anything. I can't bash Bonnaroo publicly. I just thought it was really funny. Like, okay, well, I hear you.
I would have that writing in there as well.
I wasn't gonna turn the contract down in 2 free tickets over that. So I was like, you know what?
It's very interesting.
I love Bonnaroo.
It makes perfect sense. When I started the contract or the demand, if you will, if you were gonna be a photographer, you had to have an SLR. You had to have an actual camera that the lens could, you know, you couldn't just show up with your phone. Yeah. You couldn't show up with the Kodak that you bought at the...
Right, you can't have an Instax.
Get in the pit. So that was how they defined between professional and so to come this far, it makes sense because, I mean, we get emails from people saying, hey, can you get me a free ticket? You know, a photo pass, I'll take pictures for you guys type of thing. I mean, everybody's trying to get in. I get it. So, and now with the internet, everybody is a podcaster, a journalist, an influencer.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Not a professional like us who's getting paid cents on the dollar.
Yeah. this really is on the tight, this buttoned up tight ship that this thing is sailing through the festival seas, haphazardly getting information wrong every week, seemingly. They don't get mad at us for getting the information wrong. What was it? We never even talked about what I got wrong last week. I said the ticket prices got pushed to the middle of March for their next incremental increase.
Oh, like the tier.
Wrong. That's not true at all. It's camping passes. Until March. So yeah, I mean, clearly, you know, they haven't come after me with pitchforks yet, but
yeah. Yeah, and I think Bonnaroo overall is pretty chill.
They are. We've been doing this for two and a half decades. And I'm actually
surprised you had to go to them, because they've been really good about identifying people like you doing cool stuff and reaching out, like our friend David Bruce and some others. But there are a lot of people doing cool things, so I think it's a little more complicated than it was, you know, a decade or so ago.
Right. And I'm relatively still small in the, I would say, overall, like, Instagram marketplace. Like, I think I have slightly over 6,000 followers as of right now.
That doesn't sound small to me.
Still a lot. But I guess you're right. But if you talk about, like, you know, some of the people out there with, like, 90,000 followers or something like that, you know what I mean? So
yeah, they are looking closer from 6 to 60, right? Like, 60 is, that's not... It's wild to talk about, right? Like numbers that we think like, oh, 50,000, that's huge. Someone else is looking at them like, God damn, it's only 55. What am I doing? I'm paying for all this optimization and I'm not, you know, so it depends on who you ask kind of situation.
Right. Which is why I was so excited to be invited personally by the creative director of Okeechobee to bring this project to Okie. I was like,
oh yeah.
Where's Bonnaroo? you guys need to be asking me to go.
A little bit
it, you know?
Different scales, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's true. 80,000 right. people, 15,000. Yeah.
As we always do, I thought maybe, you know, half hour, 40 minutes. We're at an hour. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk briefly about the homework assignment that Russ gave Brian and I.
The early little portions, because I failed the assignment so far, but we will start it coming up next. And Caleb, you said you might have something to add to this.
Yeah, you're going to stick around?
Yeah, I got you.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. Last week, as we were signing off, Russ, as he often does, gave us a surprise bit of... a challenge that you don't often do that. But anyway, right at the end of the
homework. I don't think I've ever given you homework before.
No, I don't think so. But you always kind of at the end have that last minute, oh, by the way, kind of thing that catches me by surprise. But last week, your homework assignment was, I'll let you explain. What was it?
You go through your record collection and, you know, I put it all in Discogs and then I sorted by most valuable based on median price. Discogs gives you like the low end, the high end, and then the median. What is your most valuable records? I did top 10, but, you know, based on median price, which is what they're selling for. And, you know, I was quite surprised with some of my collection was what it was valued at. So what's your most valuable record? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. Real quick, it is a little more complicated than one might think, which is why Brian and I have not completed the homework assignment.
That's why.
It was too hard.
It was too hard. Yeah. Dog ate it. No, it takes a little more. You got to sign in. It's free. But you need to enter not only the album, but you need to get like the actual serial numbers. Because there are different, you know, issued, there are additional.
Yeah, this different. Thing's industry standard. Like this thing is, right. I already knew that. It's very layered.
Yeah, you can get very granular, like the actual release, the actual pressing of, you know, what it is that you own.
And in the last 30 years, 20 years especially, there's been so many reissues. Right. Like almost everything is reissued, and it's hard to know the difference as a casual music buyer. Buying Nirvana Bleach, you know, the chances are that's a 1989 record. The chances are you're buying a reprint probably at a run-of-the-mill record store. So this would decipher out whether it was a original copy from 1989 or from 1999.
100%.
Yeah, and for me, I had started cataloging everything that I have because I was getting in a situation where I would go out to a record store or something, see an album that I liked, and I was like, oh, I got to have that. I would buy it, take it home, and then it's already there on the shelf. So now, before I buy anything, I have to check, okay, do I have this? Yes, okay, I'm not buying it again. So,
yeah, and condition matters. Like, I'm looking over at my mother-in-law's collection, and there's a ton of Elvis records in there. She's written Hearts and I Loves and
to my grandson.
To my granny
that's
loves
adorable.
Whatever.
That's adorable.
Yeah.
And they're worthless. They're not worth 50 cents. You know,
yeah, but this is just for fun. We're not actually trying you know, sell these. This is just, you know,
well, that's
curiosity.
Always right.
100%.
Quickly, that's always a conversation about, speaking of trinkets, the collectible stuff. Like, well, what's it worth? Well, I mean, I don't really know. I mean, oh, it's worth 100 million, 10 cents, whatever. It's not for sale. So it doesn't really matter what it's worth.
Yeah.
It is a fun exercise.
But if you want some, you know, maybe I'll give you my Venmo. I don't know.
I mean, I collected baseball. I collected baseball cards for my first, 15 years of life. So,
For me, it was Pokemon cards. That's a big starting point,
Which has a lot of value, can. But where you want to start, Barry, with what you
I will. I will go first because when he first said that, so that Monday, I guess, I quickly got online. I thought, well, I just wonder, because I was like, what do I have? Because I've been collecting. I'm 62. I worked at Record Bar when I was in my late teens. I worked for the paper, so I've got a ton of promo vinyl CDs. Mm-hmm. I have a large collection. All that stuff, if you think this is green screen, it's not. Those are actual CDs.
Compact disc, baby.
Some of them still have the cellophane on them. So, you know, you think, So I started looking. Like, I have an original Pretenders, their debut album. It's worth $12. I was surprised. I have, for example, and I just grabbed real quick, I was given this when I was 13 years old, my birthday. We had a slumber party, Kiss the Originals. It's a 3-record set with Hotter Than Hell, Strutter, Dressed to Kill, Hotter Than Hell, and Kiss. You can tell it's beat to hell. The condition is terrible. I have the booklet that came with it, but I don't have the sticker. And I don't have the cards, the trading cards.
Dough, that ruined it.
If I did, SOL. I think it's worth 800, something like that.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Real quick, I do have Elvis Moon River 78 on RCA Victor. It's worth $270.
Hey, look at that.
It's in good condition. Okay. Some of the things... Brian, I know you like the colored vinyl. I do too. Some of that stuff's new. So what you got, Brian? What was your first thought that you think are your most valuable?
Well, of course, it's in a case because everything I display, the Lynyrd Skynyrd Street Survivors. Caleb, any understanding of this record at all?
Nope.
So what happened was this was released in what, Barry? 76, 77?
Yeah. Yeah, 77, I think, was the crash.
And the plane that killed that guy, amongst and her.
Cassie Gaines, wherever Cassie is.
The plane went down, 3 or 4 days after this record was released? Wow. Engulfed in flames.
Yep.
So they immediately recalled all of these. And then re-released it with the exact same line of people standing there with this black backdrop, which first, I have that one too.
First concert ticket I ever bought, $7.50.
To the Street Survivors tour.
To that show at Memorial Auditorium. The plane went down.
This has got some real scarcity value and also in not good shape
at all.
Yeah. And then one more, I'll just show you that I know it's got some value because on eBay it sells for a 150 to 200. It's a very limited release. The Flaming Lips from 1993.
Oh, nice.
Sorry, look at that. Case and everything. Mm-hmm. Look at that.
This was in 1993. Chad's Records. Just down the road from you and your connections with all that.
Chad bought it from my brother Bob.
That's right. That's right. And this was before these kinds of things were happening all the time. This was a very limited run. I'm not even a big Flaming Lips fan. I like them, but that's my own. Those are my two records that might hold value. Almost nothing else, I don't think, would.
By the way, if that Elvis Blue Moon record that I have on 78, if it was a Sun record label, it's $1,700.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, that's so crazy. That's actually so crazy.
Sun Records was a big deal back in the day. So. Yeah. Taco, what about you?
Well, now let's go Caleb.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So most of my personal vinyls that I've like collected and had been gifted over the years are in a storage unit right now. But my girlfriend does have some, and the one I pulled that I thought might be worth some, I don't know if it is or not, this Incubus one, potentially so. There's also a Portals one by Melanie Martinez that she loves listening to. There's a Harry Styles one and then a Beatles one, but I'd have to go pull the Beatles one to know exactly which album
The Beatles ones I can tell you are especially tricky because they're, like Brian said, there's so many reissues.
It depends on, I'd have to go and do the Discog serial numbers and all that stuff. So I was bad and I didn't do my homework properly.
No, you didn't. This is fun.
But my favorite vinyl I own is Acid Rap by Chance the Rapper. That's probably like my favorite one to listen to. That and Igor. Those are like probably my two.
All right. I mentioned this one last week, but this is the Ween album. This is Chocolate and Cheese. Yeah. This is a double record, $200 median price on Discogs.
Oh, wow. Median price.
And mine is kind of still in the plastic. It's got like the sticker. And on the high end, it says this is worth
$450. I was 13 when that album came out. That was a tough album cover to look at regularly.
Yeah.
Without being a little too mesmerized.
I know. You felt a little I shouldn't be looking at this. Yeah.
Right. I loved Ween all of a sudden.
Yeah, so, that's so funny. Is this TOS?
There's an original price tag of $9 when it was sold.
Wow. So the shrink wrap, they count the shrink wrap that's part of the value?
Yeah,
I don't know if it is or not. And I have no idea what condition this would be in, but it's pretty good.
Probably pretty good.
And it's one of their most popular albums, too. I mean,
I don't have anything with the shrink wrap still on it. I peel that off and throw it away.
I mean, it's opened. It's you know.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Oh, it's a classic slit right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your thumbnail.
Right.
I cultivated that thumbnail.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's another one. This is a 7-inch 45 from Green Day.
Oh, my God.
And this is an original pressing from 1989. This is before Dookie came out, so this is before they, like, blew up. $120 median price for just the little single.
Dude, that's I would have guessed that, or at least somewhere around that. There was the Kerplunk album, too, a couple other. Yeah, I think I had that exact one because they had all those old cool. What's the record label it was on? It was some old punk label.
Lookout Records.
Doesn't have anything to do with Lookout here where we live, but it's... No. Old school punk label. Oops. Yeah. I had a couple of those back in the 90s.
And then they have a Volkswagen bus on the B side.
Oh,
there you go.
The little ones are so cool. I love the little ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with the LP spindle hole instead of like the 45.
Yeah, it's got the small small hole in the middle, But my number one, and this is a 7-year bitch. This is a Brian, you might know this is their Seattle band.
That's cool.
From the 90s.
I'm very familiar with the band. Okay. I would not guess they have any vinyl that has value. But...
See, there you go.
$211 on the median price.
Wow.
Yeah. And
is it because it's in the package?
I don't know. I mean, that's just the median price. The high end is $500. Wow. And then the sticker on here says it was sold for $5. So
there you go.
All right. Okay. So this one is, I've been holding this one for a while. This is Jerome's Dream and Orchid, which is apparently a couple of screamo bands. And it's a skull. Yeah, vinyl? It's a one-sided so cool. vinyl. So you play it on the back.
Wow.
You can see it's
that's actually
there.
The vinyl.
That's insane. Yeah. That's
and nice. This is a, this glows in the dark, and it's limited to 1,000 pressings.
See, limited stuff is cool.
$100. Yeah.
So cool.
That one's only
came with
100?
This little, came with a little card here. So yeah, I'm not really familiar with either of these, but there's that one. Let's see.
Wow, that's a cool vinyl.
That's awesome. What kind of package did it come in?
It just came in this. I don't know if there's supposed to be another sleeve to it, but it just kind of lives in a plastic thing.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a cool one.
One of mine that's King Crimson Red from 1974. This is an original UK pressing, and it is $88 is the median price. $267 on the high end.
Nice.
So.
I mean, that's... Russ is just a few more away from starting a gallery wall of high-end records here.
Except you can't play them once they're on the wall.
You get Japanese pressings. You get, what is it, 100 grams and all?
I've got some that are 180 grams. And then this one I thought was interesting. This is Agalloch. And this album is a reissue, and it's on clear vinyl. It's a double album. And according to Discogs, this might be a bootleg because the band kind of claims that whoever published this didn't have the license to do so.
Oh.
They say they did, so it's kind of contested. And
that brings a whole new layer of evaluation on
$100 on Discord. I think I paid like $30, or on the high end, $168. So,
wow,
quite a bit of quite a bit of range between, you know, the high end and the median and the low end. But
again, it's
so
who will pay what?
There's a few of mine. We'll probably do more with records as we lead up to Record Store Day, which is coming up next month. It's on, is it on 420 or is it which day?
Right around there. Yeah. I mean, it's I can't remember how the weeks fall, but it's the third week-ish of April. Yeah.
There you go.
Please, guys, Russ, tell them how they can share their most valuable vinyl. What are the comments and phone number and all that stuff? Let us know what you have, your most valuable.
Yeah, let us know what you have. Leave a comment on the video. You can call us. Our voicemail line is still open, 423-667-7877. If you want to, just describe what you got. We've got Discord. You can join the Discord. The what.co/discord gets you in, and you can post pictures and video there if you want. And just let us know what you got.
Yeah, I got a few more records. I'm not abandoning this idea. I like the idea. I just,
you got to save some for later.
Yeah.
Conversation. Mm-hmm. Caleb, man, thank you. We kept
you
way longer than I thought we would be keeping ourselves. So, but it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was awesome.
It was fun.
I love yapping.
All right. Thanks. Peace.
All right. See you,
love y'all. Till next time, I'll see you at Rue 26.
You ever wonder if your routine is actually working or if you're just hoping it is? The Hume Band gives you real answers. It tracks your body 24/7, heart rate, sleep stages, recovery, stress, even blood oxygen, so you can see exactly how your habits impact your health. Not just steps, real data. You'll start to notice patterns, like how a bad night of sleep affects your recovery or how stress is holding you back. And instead of guessing what to fix, the app gives you clear, personalized insights based on your data, so you can stop second-guessing and start making smarter decisions for your body. Visit HumeHealth.com to get the Hume Band today.